You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So the influence of cultural norms and values on the concept of godliness is profound, shaping individual perceptions, expressions, and practices of what is meant to live a virtuous and morally upright life. So these may not always align with religious norms and perspectives, but they are worth the exploration as we sometimes still flow some cultural practices. And Pastor Obama Mopela is joining us once again to help us unpack this one. Mfundisi, Murebuanj.
Tilbuino, Mokabuanj.
I am very well, my pastor. I hope you are well, too.
You were supposed to answer and respond, and what happened?
I just ended. I'm learning, my pastor. Like, you can teach me now, I will forget, and I will greet another pastor like that, and I don't know. I will get there, my pastor.
You'll get there.
Before we get into our conversation, Pastor, please do kindly pray for us.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, this morning we are so grateful as your children for the gift of life yet again. And this cyberspace that we can talk about godliness. As we explore cultural variations in godliness today and its influence, we pray that you may be with us. May the power and presence of the Holy Spirit be in our midst to guide us, to give us clear minds. May our hearts be receptive to the new lights and truths that we'll get in this discussion. Be with the listeners, and may you please bless each one of us. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen. And for this, we are speaking all things cultural variations in godliness, right? And we do know that we do have a lot of cultures, a lot. It's a lot. But yeah, we're going to be getting them, Pundiswami. So how do these cultural elements contribute to the overall understanding of moral virtue? There are a lot of cultures, but how then do they contribute to our morality?
All right. Various cultural elements, I would say, play a crucial role in shaping and contributing to our understanding of moral virtues. In different cultural elements, there are some influences and the contributions we see in humans' comprehension of moral virtues. What do I mean by that? Through religious and philosophical traditions, we see that when we look at the cultural backgrounds, they often include diverse religious and philosophical teachings, which emphasize specific virtues. For instance, when you talk about the Christians, their virtues like compassion, which we mentioned of the other day, compassion, forgiveness, charity, and these other things. Culture then comes in to deeply impact how individuals within these philosophical religious bodies will now prioritize certain virtues and implement them where they are staying. How then do they again contribute to our understanding of moral virtues? Number two, they do this through values and social norms. Now, cultures establish what they call accepted standards of behavior, which sometimes will align with specific virtues. These virtues, again, might be found in the Bible. So they come in to promote this virtue, such as generosity, kindness towards strangers. And these are things that we learn of elsewhere. Religion comes in to teach us. So these ones will now focus more on upbringing that aspect. And so they will contribute on how we understand these moral virtues.
Mpundisi, can there ever be a time, or can we ever claim that there are times where culture has more to teach regarding godliness compared to religious bodies?
The influence essence of I'll answer that question at the end.
Mm.
The influence of culture and religious bodies on godliness often intertwine. Okay, they complement on one another.
Mm.
So if they complement on one another, they play, however, distinct roles in shaping perspectives on spirituality, moral values, and ethical behavior. So can we at any point claim the answer is no? Why? Because culture encompasses a wide array of beliefs.
Okay. There are
a lot of them. Just a lot. The values and traditions that impact individuals' understanding of spirituality and morality.
Mm.
Cultural norms influence how people express their faith.
Okay.
So we are seeing religious bodies to tap the understanding from God. Then as they tap that, they interpret. Now, where will these people that are listening to the leaders, to the elders, to the pastors, where are they going to live that life?
Mm.
It now then goes back to society. So their interpretation of religious teachings and their moral conduct, they put that practice, and then culture comes in to provide a broader context for how they understand these spiritual principles. For instance, cultures values like respect for elders, communal harmony, all those things, when we read the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about how we treat one another, parent-child relationship, husband-wife relationship, master-servant relationship. So while culture may teach about these things, the Bible already has that. So culture comes in to amplify what the religious bodies are teaching. The other thing, religious bodies and godliness, these which serve as organized institutes, they basically persevere to interpret the teachings and the values.
Mm.
So they provide guidance, they provide rituals and community structures that will support individuals in their spiritual journeys. What am I trying to say there? Culture will provide the context.
Yeah.
Culture will provide the context in which these religious beliefs are to be lived out and practiced. So its influence on individuals and spiritual principles is to be lived in their daily lives. On the other hand, religious bodies, they serve as structured institutions that will offer specific teachings. It is specific. Teachings, the guidance will be specific, and the practices to foster godliness amongst their followers. So all in all, it may not be so accurate for us to claim that culture may do a more part when it comes to teaching compared to what? To religious body.
Mm. So how have traditional customs, Mpundiswami, and practices shaped the moral values associated with godliness? And me, when it comes to tradition and culture, I always get confused. But anyway, Pastor will help me there. Because you've just said now that, we can't say that culture has shaped more than the religious ones, right? But looking at traditions, have they practices shaped the moral values associated with godliness?
Yes, we can say they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because cultural values and norms will shape one's behavior within a society. They will also shape one's ethical beliefs within a society.
Mm.
So what may be considered morally accepted, because we're talking about various here. So what might be considered morally accepted by the other may not be so much accepted by the other based on cultural context. So it also comes in to highlight and indicate on what may be wrong or right. It narrows down what we learn out there, but the culture variation will influence the perceptions we have on what is right and wrong, whereby it impacts also the ethical decisions which we make. It also impacts our judgment about someone's behavior. It also impacts the laws and the governance which we have. Like, for example, systems will reflect the moral and ethical values of a society. That's how it is. We're talking about the culture and the society. So it will reflect the ethical values of a society. And these values, which the laws and the governance reflect, are highly based on the culture. What may be accepted in Zambia may not be accepted in South Africa. What may be accepted in the United States of America may not be accepted in Belgium. So these legal systems have been affected by culture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the laws surrounding marriage in Namibia may not be the same surrounding the laws of marriage in Kenya. When you talk about inheritance, you talk about criminal justice. It may differ significantly between cultures. The last one which I would make mention of is how people communicate. This has been shaped by culture, how people communicate. So how ethical issues are discussed is all shaped by culture. Debate is also shaped by culture, and they can all be resolved based on cultural communication styles, whether direct or indirect, the importance of hierarchy and the values placed on consensus. To mention all of them, they've all been influenced and shaped by culture. Just as the Bible would also tell us that, you know, children obey your parents, for this is good or right before the Lord. Also, parents do not provoke children. At the end of the day, when we get down to the roots, culture then will highlight how we can respect parents and how the parents should not provoke the children.
Mm-hmm. And I'm still thinking on that one, Pastor, for example, that one borders around respect, right? So how does culture encourage or discourage certain attitudes towards others? We've just touched on respect now, such as compassion, empathy, or forgiveness, which are often associated with godliness.
Thank you so much. Culture significantly influences these attitudes you have mentioned. It highly influences it. Why am I saying so? When you through cultural values, it promotes the respect and having a good attitude towards these things: empathy, forgiveness, compassion. So through cultural values which they have placed, it will promote things like compassion, empathy. These cultures, however, will prioritize the well-being of the community and encourage individuals to consider other feelings and needs. When you talk about forgiveness, you're not just looking at the other person. You're also looking at yourself. Because the one who's being eaten up is you. The other person will continue eating, will continue getting fat. They will marry. They will do whatever things. So by you being able to forgive, it means you are doing yourself a more favor than you are doing the other person. In fact, these cultures may also prioritize personal achievement and communal welfare. When we talk about compassion, everyone needs these things. I mean, even the richest person has got a problem that they will need help from the other person. Even the richest person, there are certain things they can't do. So it calls for people to be compassionate. People, we are affected through a lot of things. So culture then will come in through cultural values to promote, say, hey, you have to be compassionate to one another. You have to be empathetic to one another.
Mfundisi, come back. Network there is doing the gremlin. Pastor's going to come back in a short while. Remember that you can get in touch with us on +27 73 470. Welcome, Pastor. We had missed you there a bit. Network.
Yeah, network issues. It was raining here.
Yeah.
So I was mentioning this. So secondly, culture will encourage individuals through the very religious teachings. When you look at the cultural attitude towards compassion, empathy, and forgiveness, they are deeply intertwined with religious teachings. They are intertwined. So it narrows down and encourages indirectly what the religion teaches. So it will intertwine with it, because cultures are steeped in religion somehow, emphasizing the virtues. What virtues do they emphasize? They emphasize Christian virtues of loving the neighbor, it is now encouraging them to live uprightly, morally, and ethically. You know, loving the neighbor. The other religions, such as Buddhism, I read something which them they focus more on compassion. Then the culture then will come in and promote these attitudes more prominently. The other one which I would mention is that of social norms and practices. As I earlier indicated, these ones will indicate and dictate how individuals should interact with others. The practices like respecting elders, which we mentioned, are helping strangers or engaging in communal activities, can foster compassion and empathy by encouraging understanding and connection with experiences. When we go down into the villages, down there, where these things are so common, in urban towns, it is not so common where people become strangers because of the issues of thieves, robbers, and etc. But when you go down there where tradition is highly respected, you find that strangers are welcomed. They are treated well. The respect of elders is so visible. It has not been uttered by the westernization which we have experienced. Mm. But at the end of the day, it will encourage empathy, compassion, and forgiveness, even as we look at how they communicate and other things which express understanding of compassion and empathy.
So, Mfundisi, here we are, for example, as Adventist World Radio, right? We are broadcasting the gospel, and then someone texts us and say, I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and get baptized, you know. So should that particular person, you know, forsake culture when they become Christian or live like Christians? Or how can they achieve godliness when these two counterparts exist, coexist?
This is an interesting one. and it is good you ask such a question, because this is where we miss it, most of us, when we become Christians. The Bible does not, we're talking about Christians, the Bible does not explicitly command forsaking one's culture upon becoming a Christian. It doesn't say that. Instead, it encourages believers to navigate their cultural context while living out their faith in Christ. And so the Bible challenges, and the challenge also lies in aligning cultural practices and beliefs with biblical principles. So it is all about these practices. Are they in line with biblical principles, so that at the end of the day, I may achieve godliness in the midst of cultural influences? So at the end of the day, your goal is to achieve godliness. So how then do you achieve godliness when you become a Christian? Number one, we must separate ourselves from sinful practices. We must separate ourselves from sinful practices. The Bible, those now have become Christians, the Bible urges believers to distance themselves from practices or behaviors that contradict God's teachings. There are some cultural practices that we adhere when it comes to funerals, wedding processions, these other things. There are some practices. Now, are those practices contradicting with God's teaching? These practices would include things that go against the biblical values. The Bible in Ephesians 5:11 says, have nothing to do with fruitless. Yes, that's the word. Fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. As you get to Christianity, look at the certain actions or deeds that are done. When you look at them, are they going in line with this?
Yeah.
If they're not going in line with this, hey, put them aside, but don't go attacking those people that do it, that keep them. Number two, we can maintain we can achieve godliness in the midst of these variations through the transformation of the mind. This idea keeps on running almost every day. Romans 12 verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world,
yes,
but be conformed by the renewing of your mind. So transformation happens, first of all, from the mind. School will inform us. School will inform us. Different things would come about, but only God can transform us so that we may prove what the will of God is. So through the transformation of the mind, we begin now to consider what the will of God is. That's the only way we get transformed. The other one, as you get to Christianity, as you have shifted now becoming a Christian, the Bible emphasizes, when we read 1 Corinthians chapters, should be 9, verses 19 to 22. I just don't remember the exact quotations. Mm-hmm. But it emphasizes understanding and respecting different cultural contexts. Have respect for these things, even when you have become a Christian. Why? Because begin now to prioritize love and understanding towards others. Understand yourself. You were once like them. At some point, you never knew this light. You never saw this light. And so, since you have become part of this family, you have now become part of this priesthood, it is your turn to be compassionate to others, understanding, and to love them just the way they are. What else do you do? You live as an example. You then live an example. Christians are called to be examples of godliness within their cultures. So if you now have become a Christian, you have now taken on a mantle to become the example people should look up to. You have to demonstrate the Christ-like virtues, such as love. Yes, they're also showing love, but how are they showing love? You do it differently. Compassion. Yes, they're also showing compassion, but how are you showing it differently? Humility. Yes, they're also humble, but how are you doing this humbleness in your own stead? Forgiveness. Yes, they're able to forgive, but how are you able to do what? To forgive. Submission to God's word is another one. Ultimately, believers are encouraged to submit their cultural practices and beliefs to the authority of God's word. Allow, if someone is listening, allow scripture to guide your thoughts, your actions, and values. Only then can it be possible for you to attain godliness. Let me also tackle the last one before I recall it again. The one which you asked, how then do we achieve this in the presence of the two? It is important to respect and understand the context each and every time while you prioritize the timeless, like this one, the timeless principles of the Bible, the timeless truths of the Bible. So at the end of the day, whatever you do, prioritize the Bible is the greater light. These other things, they just become a symbol. They point to what the Bible, and what do we call the Bible? The Bible is the word of God. So at the end of the day, the word of God should have a supreme position in our culture, a supreme position in our lives, a supreme position in our dealings, so that godliness may be achieved in the midst of all these cultural variations.
Fundis, thank you. Thank you. I've actually noted that down there. Let scripture guide you, because sometimes we do have going to have all of these things, but then we're going to get lost. But if the scripture is the one that is guiding us, we have a chance of this godliness, you know, that we are speaking about. Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please do pray for us so that we may embrace this godliness that we have spoken about today?
Thank you so much. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we are so grateful once more that you have put us through this space on how best we can integrate cultural variations with living a godly life. A lot of things come our way that will test us to put away the biblical principles. But through 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, your word has been given because it is inspired. It is profitable for teaching, doctrine, reproof, instructing. And so when we come to things that we want us to compromise our faith, our prayer is that may we adhere to the Bible and your word, because at the end of the day, salvation is only through you. Culture will not save us, tradition will not save us, but your own will and through the salvation made possible by Jesus Christ's death and resurrection and ministry in heaven, we shall be saved. May you therefore help us to live a godly life. May we be examples at work. May we be examples in our families. May we be examples in whatsoever dealings we are engaged in. Thank you so much for having been with us. Please bless our moderator, those who are listening, and may you help us to choose what is right. In the name of Jesus is our prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow as we wrap it up.
Thank you so much. You have a blessed day.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.